सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु
वर्धितमस्तु मा विद्विष
ॐ
हे शा
शान्ति शान्तिः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तमहिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं कर्पूरगौरं करुणावतारं संसारसारं भुजगेन्द्रहारं सदा वसन्तं हृदयारविन्दे भवं भवानी सहितं नमामि भवं भवानी सहितं नमामि। सो हरि ओम, वी आर सो ब्लेस्ड विद महाशिवरात्रि कमिंग अप इन 2 वीक्स। वी आर एबल टू स्टडी वेदसार शिव स्तोत्रम। इट इज भगवान्स ब्लेसिंग्स। आई एक्चुअली डिड नॉट प्लान इट फॉर शिवरात्रि, इट जस्ट हैपेंड। I honestly didn't decide ke it is, but you know he decides what we should do. So anyway, we are in the middle of this beautiful stuti of Bhagwan Shiva's stotram, which is not only of the form but also of the formless, sakar and nirakar. Last week we had seen the 5 aspects of Bhagwan Shiva. Panchavaktram, one is the Sadyo, that is the born before time, always present, Sadyo Jata. Then Vamadeva, the very beautiful form of Bhagwan, that is the second. Then Tatpurusha, that which is the essence of all. Purusha and Prakriti, we are a composition of spirit and matter. So the Supreme Purusha, what is called an Uttam Purusha in Bhagavad Gita or in Purush Suktam. So that Purusha is Bhagwan Shiva. Then he's Dakshinamurti. In the southern aspect, he takes us beyond death and also gives us the knowledge. He's the Guru. And then the fifth is Ishana, that which is outside everywhere and inside, illumines everything. And then in the verse number 4, we saw Bhagwan Shiva as Shivakanta. He is always with Parvati ji and Shashank Maule, the moon on his head, and Jatas and Trishula. So all this describes the form of Lord Shiva. Now these 2 shlokas will talk about Lord Shiva as the formless, the Nirakar. So we'll chant number 5.
परात्मानमेकं जगद्बीजमाद्यं निरीहं निराकार ओंकारवेद्यं यतो जायते पा येन विश्वं तमीशं भजे लीयते यत्र विश्वं तमीशं भजे लीयते
सो द लास्ट लाइन इज तम ईशम भजे, आई प्रे टू दैट लॉर्ड, भजे. नाउ इफ देर इज अ फॉर्म वी कैन प्रे, ओके, देर इज अ फॉर्म ऑफ श्री कृष्णा और मदर दुर्गा और लॉर्ड शिवा, बट इफ ही इज फॉर्मलेस वॉट डू वी प्रे टू? इफ इट इज निर्गुण, इट इज ऑल परवेडिंग. सो दे से प्रेयर टू द फॉर्मलेस इज इन द फॉर्म ऑफ मेडिटेशन. We meditate on that. That is our prayer. That is our worship. So this formless, all-pervading, with his power of Maya, creates this whole world. And it is said, Ekam, it is one alone. And that we have to understand. The whole Vedanta also talks about that there is only one. There is no two. Advaitam. There is no two. Ekam alone appears as this whole universe, though itself is formless, but appears, and we'll talk about how the forms, about the murti that we see, we'll talk about that in the next shloka. And then how, who is it? It is the essence. It is the essence. It is the Paratma, you know, Paratmanam Ekam. Atma is the essence of us, all of us. The Om in the BMI chart, which is Atma, that is my true essence. And it is the essence of all. What is the meaning of essence? Essence means without that, that thing would not be that thing. So, for example, what is the essence of sugar? Is sweetness. If it was not sweet, you know, in India you get this patkari. I don't know what you call in other languages, but it is looks like sugar but tastes very bitter. So if whatever, if it does not taste sweet, it is not sugar. Or what is the essence of fire? It is heat and light. If there was no heat and light, we wouldn't call it fire. What is the essence of sun? Prakasha. So what is the as our essence? Our essence is Sat, is. If there is no isness, there will be no existence. You say the computer is, the phone is, the table is, but if you remove the isness, then
Exist.
there is nothing left. So it is that because of which we all exist. So it is the existence. And then
Jagat.
Jagat be, and it is
Jagat.
Paratmanam Ekam. Para means it is beyond Desha and Kala. Desha and Kala also will come in the next shloka. So it is beyond space and time. In fact, space and time are in Bhagwan. It's not that there was some time when Bhagwan was not there and at some particular time Bhagwan appeared. No. Bhagwan was always there. Time appeared in him. So how did time appear? So Vedanta says that when the first thought arose, Ekoham Bahusyam, the Upanishad says, when Bhagwan decided, I am one, let me become many, that was the first thought. And the next thought was implementation. So when there are two thoughts, then time started. So time is that between two thoughts. That's why the second thought is said to be time. That's why we also count time in seconds, because when the second thought came, that was. And same thing, space, even though it goes for trillions and trillions of miles, nobody knows where it ends, but that is also in Bhagwan. And all the 14 worlds are in Bhagwan. So how can I meditate on this? So it is as Abheda, without any difference. The moment if I see a form and then I sit in front of, say, Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Shri Rama, and I, you know, offer flowers and, you know, I do the prayers, 108 names or whatever, I start as a devotee, you know, I and the devotee, I and Bhagwan. But the highest prayer is that this Bhagwan that I'm worshipping in the murti is not only limited to the murti or to the temple or to the church, but it is the all-pervading, and I and that are one. So it has to lead to oneness. And so meditation cannot be verbalization. You cannot say, I am now meditating on Lord Shiva. Not like that. It has to be silence. And ultimately, even the thought that I am meditating, that is the highest samadhi, that there is no difference between meditator, meditated, and meditating. So that is the highest. As long as I am associated with this body, mind, intellect, if I think I am this BMI, then I have to work as God's servant. I am his servant. I am doing his work. Whatever is happening, he is doing through me. I am not independent of Bhagwan. But when you go to the essence, the Om or the Atma, then there is only one. And I and God, that is only one. And then my BMI again is just an appearance, is an instrument that is not my reality. So that is Paratmanam Ekam. It is that one which is beyond everything. Then it says Bijam Adyam. Bijam means seed. Adyam means the ancient, the eternal seed. Before time, before everything. So when we think of seed, what do we think? You know, that okay, I put a mango seed in the ground, and then from there a plant came out. And when the plant comes out, the seed gets destroyed. Then the plant goes, becomes a tree, then produces more mangoes and more seeds. So anytime we think of seed, any seed in the world is perishable. It perishes. But Bhagwan does not perish, even though the world emerges from him, does not perish, and we'll talk about how does that happen. So Bhagwan in the Bhagavad Gita also says, Bijam mam sarvabhutanam vidhi partha sanatanam. I am the Sanatana Bija. Sanatan means which was always there, is there, and always will be there. But I am the seed of the world. How can the formless infinite reality produce this world which has a form which is perishable? God is eternal, world is perishable, God is all-knowing, we are ignorant. So how can God produce it? So it says by attributes or upadhis. So beautiful example I heard from Swamiji in his commentary. He's from Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda Ji. He says that there is a person, Mr. A. Now he has a brother, Mr. B. So Mr. B gets a son, is blessed with a son. So Mr. C comes and he tells Mr. C, A, oh, you have become an uncle. He says, I didn't do anything. How did I become an uncle? Without changing A, without changing himself, the attribute of uncle comes, right? Chacha or whatever you want to call. So without changing any attributes, it appears. So like that. Then another example, somebody goes to Swamiji, you know, says, Swamiji, you are like my father. You know, we say, Twameva Mata Pita Twameva, you are like my father. So Swamiji says, okay, after a year, he has a son. So he says, Swamiji, now you have become grandfather. He said, I never got married, never had a son. How did I become grandfather? Without any change in the Swamiji, originally was just Swamiji by himself. Then he became a father. Then he became a grandfather. Only the attributes. It is the upadhis. Swamiji himself remains unchanged. So same way, this consciousness remains unchanged, that which we call as the formless aspect of Lord Shiva. And upon that, this world comes as an upadhi, as an appearance, without any change. So that now the man changing to uncle, was there any transformation? No. But the uncle upadhi just appeared upon him, or upon Swamiji, father, grandfather. So same way, upon Shiva, upon that consciousness, this whole world appears as upadhi. So this is a very important point to understand, that actually the world has no reality, appears as a upadhi. Then he says, Nirīham. Nirīham means has no activity. No activity only can happen when there are no desires. See, why do you and I work in the world? Because we have a desire. I want this, I want that, I want money, I want a house, I want, this and that. So whatever activities we do come out of desire, but Bhagwan has no desire, hence has no activity. Bhagwan himself doesn't do anything, but as we have talked before, the world
Yes, as
appears upon him as a attribute, and there Bhagwan takes up the role of Ishvara, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. We'll talk about that a little later. So that nirakar, that formless, is all pervading. See, the moment you say formless, then it cannot have a limit. But suppose you have a limit, okay, God extends up to here, and then here in me, there is no God. There is. So then immediately God gets limited as a form. Like this, you have a laptop. Laptop has a form, right? Which has a beginning, end, left, right, side. You can carry it, you can move it around, but that which is formless cannot have a limit. Cannot say formless is up to here. Because the moment you say up to here, then you are limiting. That's why in Purush Suktam also it says, Tripad Urdhva Udayit Purushah Pado Seha Bhavat Punah. Only a quarter of Bhagwan has become this 14 worlds. Three quarters is beyond and extends, thus the Shangulam extends beyond even the 14 worlds. So that's how. So Bhagwan can only be meditated as the essence, my true nature. And also, you say, okay, he doesn't have physical form. But can we think about the formless thoughts? They say no thoughts also, because thoughts also are made of five elements, the subtle aspect of five elements, the mind and intellect. So it cannot be indicated as a form. You cannot even think about it. The word nirakar does not describe Bhagwan. Nothing can describe Bhagwan, only indicates. One who reaches that highest state of supreme realization says that no words can describe God, it can only be indicated. Then it is says Omkar Rupam, Nirakaram Omkara Vedyam. Now, Om is a very important word, and we use Om in our meditation, in our chanting. All mantras start with the Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or even Om alone can be used for meditation. Now, what is Om? So when we chant O starts from the throat. It is uma. So starts in the throat, U starts in the mouth. In the teeth, that's called the dental and labial sounds. So the guttural sound in the throat, the dental or labial in the mouth, and is in the lips. So starting from the throat to the mouth to the lips, om involves. So all our method of speech is all covered in om. So all words are also covered in om. How is that? Because and u are vowels and ma is a consonant. So a, e, i, o, u are vowels, all the others are consonants. So the entire vocabulary is made up of vowels and consonants, right? Anything that is written, any words that you can speak, even any names, you say, oh, Anil or Sneha or Hansa, the names are also letters, and later letters are vowels and consonants. So all words have this om as their essence. And what is that? Another meaning is that om, when you chant, then it goes into silence. You say om, and then we say have take a gap. Don't say om 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 like that. You om and then you pause. So that silence is the origin of om. Om arises from silence, and merges back into silence. When you chant Om, the sound comes. Then when the sound ends, it merges into silence. So the silence is the origin of Om. So Om is called Matra, and the silence is called Amatra, where there is no sound, there is no letter. And Upanishads called the lot of the Upanishads cover Om in detail. Mandukya says Chaturtham Manyante. It is said to be the fourth. How fourth? Because waking, dream, and deep sleep, those are the three states we know. But the fourth state of silence, of absence of the three, is where Bhagwan resides. So Bhagwan, or this consciousness, is the fourth state. And that's why there's another word, Shantam Shivam Chaturtham Manyate. Lord Shiva is said to be Shantam, peaceful, quiet. And then Kathopanishad says, Om iti alambanam shrestham, Om alambanam param. So Om is the support, it is the substratum. So chanting Om, taking the support of Om, it is the supreme, what do you call, support. And your mind gets absorbed in that silence and becomes one with that reality. So you can even just meditate on Om, start by chanting Om loudly, then whisper, and then mentally chant Om. And that is another technique of meditation, where you say Om, then you a few times, then you whisper Om, and then in silence mentally you chant. And that is also, and another shloka for Lord Shiva is Omkara Bindu Samyuktam Nityam Dhyayanti Yoginaha. So yogis meditate on Lord Shiva, who is associated with Om. Omkara Bindu, on Om there is a crescent and then there is a dot that represents Shakti. So Shiva and Shakti are always together. So that represents the Ardha Matra, is called Shakti. And then Yato Jayate Palyate Yena Vishwam. From that arises the world. The world arises from Bhagwan, is sustained by Bhagwan, and then perishes back into Bhagwan, just as a wave arises from the ocean, sustained in the ocean, and merges back. But ocean is, the wave is nothing but water appearing as a wave. So same way, you and I are nothing but that consciousness appearing as this man or woman or this world. This whole world appears in Bhagwan, and he is the Lord of the universe. He also sustains. Now think about it. If the Lord say, I take care of my own life, I do. But think about it. If the Lord was not there, we already have made such a mess of our life, of our country, if it is left to us, we would ruin everything. Thank God there is a Bhagwan who takes care of us, and who is always maintaining this world. Then in Vedanta, there are two terms, Swarupa Lakshana and Tatastha Lakshana. These are very technical words. I'll try to explain in a simple way. So what is Swarupa Lakshana and Tatastha Lakshana? So say you are walking with a friend, and on that street, you are asking, which is Ramakrishnan's house? So the friend knows. He says, that house you see, there is a red Mercedes parked in front of that house. That is Ramakrishnan's house. So Mercedes becomes the Tatastha Lakshana. Means it's not always there. Today the Mercedes is there. Tomorrow it may not be there. He may have driven it, but the house will always be there. So Mercedes is the Tatastha Lakshana. What is Swarupa Lakshana? Tomorrow you go, there is no Mercedes. You say, Are, I can't find his house. Where is his house? There's no Mercedes. He says, oh, okay. That is the only three-story house in this on the street, is gray. Has a yard in front, has a swimming pool in the back. So that becomes Swarupa Lakshana, that the house has three stories, gray color. All that are the qualities of the house. So whether Mercedes is there or not, Once you know that is the house, three story, then you don't need the Mercedes. So similarly, Bhagwan Swarup Lakshana
Sachit.
is that Satchit Anand, the existence, consciousness, bliss. Upon Bhagwan, this world is there. So Bhagwan Swarup is Satchit Anand, and the Tatastha Lakshana is this world. So when you just as when you see the Mercedes, you can connect it with the house. So same way, when you see the world, you should say world
Okay.
is also an appearance upon Bhagwan. So you connect the world also with Bhagwan. And always remember that when I see the world, I am seeing Bhagwan with his attributes. So that's why you see God in everything. You know, we say, tell the children, you know, who is in everyone? God. So when you hate somebody, we were asking on Sunday, whom do you hate? They said, God. So children know that. So you and I also have to see that when you see people, when you see the world, you see the things, you remember God, and our thoughts should merge into that. It's again, it's not something that you can remember, but you should merge into that. And Bhagwan Shiva is the only one who form and formless both are in temples. So when you see the murti of Bhagwan Shiva, that is the form. And when you see the linga, the Shiva linga, that indicates formless because linga has no hands, no legs, no particular shape. In fact, so many temples of Bhagwan Shiva only have linga. You know, we have these Jyotirlingas throughout the country, and where there is no vigraha, there is no murti, only the linga is worshipped. So Bhagwan Shiva is form and formless both, and that is the one that I worship. But how? By meditation alone, not by words, not by thought. Now, the sixth shloka also talks more about Bhagwan's form, no, formless aspect. So, na bhumir.
Same thing. Na bhumirna chapo na vanirna vayuh na chakashamaste na tandra na nidra na grishmo na shitam na desho na vesho na yasyasti murtis
Na yasyasti murtis
trimurti
trimurtim tam.
tamidhe.
Na yasya asti murti. The last line is of that Lord asti. There is no murti. There is no form. But then he says trimurtim tam ide. I praise and I worship the three murtis. You say, where Shankaracharya ji, you said that there is no murti and now you are saying trimurti. So can you please clarify that? So tam, you know, tam means that in Sanskrit. Sa tau te tam tau tan. So tam is the second case. That Bhagwan I worship, I praise. He is na murti. He has no murti. Why? Na bhumir na chapo na vanir na vayu na chakashamaste. So there is no bhumi is earth. Apaha is water, Vanni is fire,
You see,
Vayu is air, and Akash is space. Yes. So there is no earth, water, fire, air, and space. So none of the five elements are in Bhagwan. And for form, we have to have all the five elements. Like the potter makes a pot, right? Now, pot has earth, has the mud in it. Has water. Water has to be used in making the pot. Then fire, heat has to be there to make the pot. Air is there and space is there. So air, space, air, fire, water, earth are in pot. Even when you are making a roti and with the dough, you have all the five. You have the grain, then you put water in it, then you bake it, you know, on the tawa, that is fire. And then the roti is not a homogeneous, has little spaces where air and space are there. So anything in this world has to be made of five elements, whether it's birds, animals, fish. But Bhagwan is Sat. He is the existence. Without existence, there would be no world and there would be no us. Because if you say something exists, that means it is. So without isness, you cannot say I exist or the world exists or the computer exists or the Himalayas mountain. So Bhagwan is Sat, Bhagwan is essence. That is number one. That no elements are in him. Second meaning of no elements is that elements cannot restrict him. You cannot say, okay, you say earth is God, but then God is not only restricted to the earth, is even all the planets, all the universe, nothing can restrict air, even space. Space is the closest to Bhagwan, to infinite, but even space cannot restrict Bhagwan. And the difference between Bhagwan and space, I think we had talked before also, space is inert and Bhagwan is sentient. So no elements can limit Bhagwan. Also, it's always changing. You and I, we were young, then we became, youth, then middle age, then becoming old. So everything in this world is changing. Nothing is permanent. Buildings are changing, mountains are changing, rivers are changing. But Bhagwan is changeless. Then we say, okay, Bhagwan is not earth or fire. How about all put together? Air, space, air, fire, water, earth, all put together. Can that represent Bhagwan? We say, no, he is beyond all. And Bhagwan has no body. See, to five elements you will only have if you have a body. But if you have no body, then there are no elements in Bhagwan. And also no mind or intellect. Bhagwan does not have a subtle aspect, mind or intellect. Our mind and intellect is made of the subtle elements. It's also made of the Pancha Mahabhutas, the five elements in the subtle form. And our mind and intellect is always changing. I like this, tomorrow I don't like it, I'm happy, I'm unhappy. But Bhagwan is changeless. So that is na na bhumi na, na chakasha maste na tandra na nidra. Tandra means drowsiness and nidra means sleep. So I think some of you may be currently in nidra, others are going towards nidra, are in tandra. So I hope by telling this joke, hopefully everybody will become awake. So what is tandra? Tandra means nidra, we all know. Nidra is sleep, and tandra means drowsiness or daydreaming. So one speaker was speaking and he says, tell me what is sleep. So the speaker says, sir, what I experience in your lecture, that is sleep. So he says, what is my lecture? He says, lecture is that which disturbs my sleep. So he says, if you stop talking, then I can have a good
Good
sleep.
sleep.
So in Bhagwan, there is no sleep. So we have to remember, see, we go to sleep at night. Now, if Bhagwan also went to sleep, then who will keep our heart beating, our lungs breathing, kidneys working, blood circulating? Bhagwan never sleeps, and he also has no drowsiness. Now, so the whole universe, even the galaxies are moving, everything is happening because of Bhagwan's presence. But Bhagwan has na tandra, na nidra, has no sleep. That's why it is said to be eternal consciousness, chit. And then it says, na grishmo, na shitam. So no heat or cold. Now, heat or cold, again, only we feel with our body, right? I feel hot, I feel cold. Then there is autumn, then there is spring, there is snow, all those seasons. But Bhagwan has no body. So no seasons are in Bhagwan, none of them. Bhagwan is beyond. Then he says, na desho, na vesho. It doesn't have a desh, it doesn't have a vesh. Desha means space, vesha means form. So for every place, you need a particular form, you need a particular uniform. like a child going to school. Now she needs a school uniform. So desha, so the when the, she is in school, she's supposed to wear the uniform. So in that desha, that becomes her vesha. And for everything, you know, we need like, you know, if you want to play cricket, you have to have the proper clothing with pads and gloves and
Jim.
bat. You cannot go in swim trunks and say, I want to play cricket. You have to have the appropriate outfit, otherwise you will get injured. So Swamiji tells a joke. I don't know if it is real or a joke, but you can listen to it. So he says that there were some Swamis and Brahmacharis who were playing cricket. So they were playing cricket in the Maidan, you know, and they wanted to have a day to relax, and other people all showed up to start watching. Oh, Swamijis are playing and Brahmacharis. And then one Swamiji was batting, and the spectator said, out, out, out. He says, how did I become out? He says, LBW. So he says, what LBW? He says, lungi before wicket. The ball hit your lungi. So lungi, not leg before wicket. So you cannot play cricket, you know, with a lungi. So he was trying to indicate that. And also in different countries, the vesha is different. Like in India, the traditional is to wear dhoti, girls wear sari, you know, all that. But if you go to Western country, they wear skirt and they wear shirt and pant and suit. So different countries have different vesha and so namurti. So it has no murti, it has no form, but appears in different forms. So it is the example they give is like water. Water has no form, but if you put it in a tall glass, it will look tall. If you put it in a flat bowl, water will look flat. Water has no form, but wherever it is placed, it takes the form of that. So water is formless. So that is called upadhi. And same thing about space. You know, space is everywhere. It is all pervading, but then it becomes limited. Room space, hall space, pot space, you know, all those spaces. But actually, it is one space, but because of the upadhi, it gets limited. So, same way, Bhagwan, though has no form, it takes up three forms, which we call as Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So, Shiva, the supreme reality, takes three forms, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Why? Because of prakriti. So when sattva is predominant, that is Bhagwan Vishnu. When rajas is predominant, that is Bhagwan Brahmaji for required for creation. And when tamas predominant for destruction, Mahesh. So all three forms are nothing but forms of that one supreme reality, taking up those forms, but itself under not undergoing any transformation. So again, these forms are upadhis upon that. And then also these forms, they play various leela, like Bhagwan Vishnu appeared as Sri Rama, Sri Krishna, Narasimha, and performed various leela. So also Lord Shiva appears as Dakshinamurti and Shankaracharya ji and all. So then it says Trimurtim Tam Ide. Now this Trimurti is very important. How did it take the three forms? And what are the three forms? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So there is a very, very beautiful story. I actually had not heard the detailed story before about Dattatreya Bhagwan. Dattatreya was, see, there was a couple named Atri Rishi and Anasuya. Anasuya was his wife. And she was a very pure, very chaste, highly evolved lady. And her fame not only spread through the earth, but also in heavens. That there is nobody as pure and as evolved as Anasuya. So so Saraswati Devi, Lakshmi, and Parvati ji, all of them told their husbands, what is special about Anasuya? Why don't you go check her out? So, you know, that is she really that pure and that great? So Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, they don't go in their original form. They become young Brahmin men, young, and they go, you know, with all that Kamandalu and all, and they go there. And Atri Rishi is gone somewhere, so Anasuya is home alone. So they say, oh, Mother Bhiksham Dehi, Bhiksha. So when a Brahmin comes, it is the duty of the householder to give Bhiksha. So she has made some food, and so she's ready to serve them. Then they say, no, Mother, no, we want you to serve us without any clothes, Without any clothes, these are young men, and I have to take off all my clothes. But it is, see, Atithi Devo Bhava, Atithi is God, so his wish I have to fulfill. And then she recognizes with her power that these three are not ordinary Brahmins, they are Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. So with her yogic power, she converts them into tiny little babies, just newborn babies. And they are on the floor crawling and laughing and playing like babies. Now, for in front of the babies, if the mother has clothes or no clothes, it doesn't matter. So she serves, then she gives those babies, she gives them whatever, baby food and little milk from the bottle, and without clothes, and then she puts her clothes back on. So nothing happened, it was not that there was any violation of chastity. Now the three babies are roaming around, they cannot get out. And Atri Rishi comes. He says, who are these three babies? And then he immediately recognizes, oh my God, these are Brahmaji, Vishnu, and Shiva. What are they doing here? So she just says, well, they came. And he also, he's very amused. Now up in heaven, Saraswati ji and Lakshmi ji and Parvati ji are wondering what happened to our husbands. They are missing in action. And who will do all the work in heaven? Who will create and sustain? So then they realize that they are still with Anasuya. So they go there and apologize and say, Mother, please forgive us. We doubted your greatness. Please give us our husbands back. They cannot remain as babies. They need to take care of the earth. So she says, okay, I'll give them on one condition. Because they are babies, now they have to be born as my children. So Dattatreya Bhagwan then was the child of Anasuya and Atri Rishi. And she was given the boon by the three gods that we will come as your children. So Datta means boon, Atreya means Atri Rishi. So Dattatreya Bhagwan. Now Dattatreya Bhagwan is worshipped in Maharashtra and Karnataka and Gujarat. But it's very interesting. He is shown as having three heads, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, and six arms, six hands. So one hand has Kamandalu and the rosary of Brahmaji, then Shankha Chakra of Vishnu Bhagwan, and the Damru and the Trishul of Lord Shiva. So if you see Dattatreya, he has six hands. And he has all the instruments. So very, very interesting story. And then Dattatreya Bhagwan is worshipped as the supreme yogi, as the one beyond all body, mind, intellect, beyond space, air. He is the supreme reality who takes the form. And then Dattatreya Bhagwan takes the form of Avadhut. Avadhut is the yogi, that the yogi aspect of Dattatreya Bhagwan. And Avadhut was a wandering monk, and there are many Avadhuts that come. So one of them was wandering and looked very calm, very peaceful, very relaxed. And somebody asks him, why are you so happy, so quiet, so peaceful, and you look enlightened? He says, I have 24 teachers. I think those of you who are Balvihar teachers have taught about the 24 gurus of Avadhut Maharaj, and he gives very beautiful. He says, from the earth, I learned patience and sacrifice. From water, I learned purity. Water cleans everything. From fire, again, fire is the purifier which burns everything and purifies. From air, air moves everywhere unattached, but air sustains everything. And then from space, I learned that everything is in space, but space is not affected. So, and from all the, then he says, from the elephant, I learned about lust. You know, because to catch the male elephant, they bring a female elephant and he comes near and he gets caught, or a fish. I learned about taste. Do not get attached to taste because that's how you get bound. So lust, you know, so all those things I learned. And from the spider, I saw the spider is the like the spider creates the web out of himself, sustains, and then the web merges back into the spider. So that reminds me of the Supreme Lord. So Dattatreya Bhagwan is the infinite manifestation of the Trimurti. So that's why we say Trimurtim Tam Ire. So Bhagwan Shiva, even though he is himself formless, to create and sustain the world and for the Bhaktanukampartham, for compassion for us. Because for us to meditate on the formless is very hard. You know, how, where is formless? You know, even who was that Bhagwan Krishna's friend who went to the gopis? What was his name? Bhagwan Krishna's friend who went to the
Uddhava.
Uddhava, yeah, Uddhava goes to the gopis because the gopis were missing Bhagwan Krishna and very unhappy and very sad all the time. When will he come back? And so, and Uddhava was very arrogant about his Vedantic knowledge. He was very proud. So Bhagwan Krishna, to teach Uddhava, tells him, you know what, those gopis, they are crying for me. Why don't you go and give them some Vedantic knowledge so that they know what is truth and reality? They are just, you know, sad. So Uddhav, of course I will go. So he goes there and he tries to talk to them about the infinite, formless Brahman. He says, Krishna is not that, he's all pervading. That Brahman alone you should meditate on. So Gopi say, where is this formless? You know? He says, Uddhav man nahi das bis, ek huto so gayo syam sang, kon adhare is. He says, you want me to worship this Lord with my mind, but I have only one mind. I don't have 10 or 20 minds. Das bis nahi hai, ek hi hai. And that one mind, Bhagwan Krishna took it away. It's gone with him. So I don't have any mind to meditate upon this formless that you are talking. And again, he says, where is this formless? Where does he reside? At least Krishna, we could see him, and we used to watch him go in the morning, you know, to with the cows, and when he came back. So we saw that. And this formless, don't teach us about that. And so he actually got convinced that their love for Krishna was much superior to any of his teachings. So the point is that, you know, there is a room for formless, but if that much love is there, bhakti can also go transcend all these three. And this Dattatreya Sampradaya is practiced in parts of Maharashtra. There are temples, and Eknath Maharaj was a great saint of Maharashtra, and he used to worship Dattatreya Maharaj. And his guru was Janardhan Swami. Now, Janardhan Swami had the speciality that when he would think about Dattatreya Bhagwan, Bhagwan would come and sit next to him. And they would talk, and, you know, they would, so he would appear anytime, Janardhan. So that's how evolved he was, and that's how evolved Eknath Maharaj is. So, but in essence, it is formless. That's why also in Vishnu Sahasranama, one of the names of Lord Vishnu is Amurtir Anagho Chintyo. It is Amurti. He's, even though Bhagwan Vishnu has a form, actually he is formless and achintya and cannot be thought about, cannot be. Only by meditating and by becoming one with that is the only way. And that's why Bhagwan has many forms. You know, they say Sahasramurti, you know, thousand forms. Again, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, even in Purush Suktam, you see the thousand heads of Bhagwan Vishnu or the thousand forms in Lord Krishna. And also in Ashtamurti, he can be in 1,000 forms, he can be in 8 forms, like Raman Maharishi says, Ashtamurti Brit Deva Pujanam. What is the eightfold form of Bhagwan? It is space, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and Jiva. So, sun, moon, and Jiva. So, this whole universe consists of five elements, sun, moon, and Jiva. Within us, how are we eight? Air, space, fire, water, earth, mind, intellect, and ego. So we are also Ashtamurti, and the world is also Ashtamurti. So Bhagwan Raman Maharishi says, Ashtamurti Brit Deva Pujanam. If you Jagat Ishadi Yukta Sevanam, if you serve the world as I am serving Bhagwan, then that is puja of Bhagwan. That means when you serve the world with that attitude, that I am serving Bhagwan, then you may or may not do puja. I mean, you doing puja is good, but if you have that mental attitude, that also becomes a puja. So all your actions, all your activities can become the puja of Bhagwan. So we'll end here. So basically, we have seen the forms of Lord Shiva and his leelas, and as Shankaracharya ji, as Dakshinamurti, as Veerabhadra, when he made from his hair that destroyed Daksha's Yagnashala. And we have seen him as the Brahma Vishnu Mahesh. All are manifestations of that one supreme reality. And also this world is an appearance. It is what we call it as a appearance upon that it is the so that is the understanding we have to take. So see Bhagwan in this world, but then Bhagwan is also beyond the world. And so meditating, when we meditate, what we do is from the form, that means you start with your form, with relaxing the body, then go subtle to the breath, you watch your breath. And then ultimately, when your mind is active, you quieten the mind with chanting and with mantra and with breath, and ultimately go to silence. And that is meditation upon the absolute nature of Bhagwan. So puja we do to the form, meditate, you meditate on the formless. You can start by even a form. There is some meditation where you see Bhagwan Sri Krishna there with his beautiful smile and the flute, and then his yellow garments and his beautiful feet and toes and all. Yeah, that is the form, but then you have to extend that to my Bhagwan is not only here, but everywhere. Everything is Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Bhagwan Sri Krishna says. Vasudeva Sarvamiti sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. It is very rare to find a Mahatma who sees the whole world as Vasudeva. So we'll end here. Very, very beautiful shlokas, very practical. How Shankaracharya ji makes even the absolute Shiva easy for us to understand. So we have a few minutes if anybody has any questions or comments.
Can you define Aghora? Are they the Shiva Bhaktas? Is that
Yes,
what it
Aghora is
is?
the
And
form.
then one more question. What would be the difference between Aghora and sannyasis or sadhus?
Aghora is the form of Lord Shiva. Ghora means which is very powerful, very violent, which is the Rudra form. Aghora is the Shant Swaroop.
Okay.
Bhagwan Shiva is Shant Swaroop. So, and sannyasi can be, peaceful like Lord Shiva, like that. But Aghora is just the form of Lord Shiva, one of the names of Lord Shiva, one
Achcha.
manifestation. Last week we had covered Aghora.
Ah, you did, right.
Aghora is the Rudra Roop that when we do something wrong, get punished. And that is the Ghora Roop or Rudra Roop of Bhagwan. And then when you approach him and surrender to Bhagwan, then his heart melts and then he becomes Aghora. He becomes Shanta. That's why Shiva Bhagwan is said to be Asutosh. He's very easily pleased. Shri Bhagwan, he's Lord Shiva, he's very easily pleased. And he's very Shanta Swarupa. He's always silent, always in meditation, always. While Bhagwan Krishna is always active. You know, you see even in his statue, he looks like so much activity. And throughout his life, he doesn't never stayed in one place. He was moving here and there. Shiva is very shant. He's sitting in the Himalayas in meditation and undisturbed. So that is Aghora.
And I like you explained about Dattatreya today.
Yes.
We see the murtis in Gujarat, several places,
Right.
but exact significance of it I had not inquired into, and thank you for
Yeah.
elaborating on that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story of Dattatreya Maharaj. Any other comments, Niru? Anything? Any questions?
You explained it so much.
Okay, so we have covered the two verses. Next week we'll do 7 and 8. We did 5 and 6 today. We'll do 7 and 8. And we'll end here. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. My humble pranams to all of you. It's a blessing to be able to talk about Lord Shiva. Thank you so much.